Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 463rd episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host. We've got the one and only, the fluffiest Whimsicott.
Hooves! I said hooves.
There we go. Hooves. Yeah. Yeah, we're not in trouble now. And as you can hear laughing in the background, we've also got Linian, the Game Corner Master.
Good morning.
You know, the Game Corner Master could have some negative connotations, like you have a gambling problem.
I mean, I do, but I don't think that's what you're talking about, so I won't choose to take it as an insult.
All right, and welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007. We talk everything Pokemon here, from the video game to the trading card game to pretty much everything in between. Mostly this morning it's been dogs, but that's for different reasons. And yeah, we talk everything in between. It's a good time. Welcome to the show. We got some, I mean, this is an exciting time, kind of, in Pokemon. I would say, so Crown Tundra comes out this week, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. So like the one thing I've noticed just in general in the Pokemon community, I mean, this has probably been a year long thing. In general, has just been like, I don't know, like the hype just isn't there, and I don't know if it's Pokemon fault or my fault. I mean, I'm excited because like I think Crown Tundra is going to be better than Isle of Armor in a lot of ways. Honestly, Dynamax Adventures, best thing ever in terms of like a thing they could have added with that. Like, if you're going to do something with Dynamax, that's what I want.
Okay, I can kind of see that.
Because I really like the one thing that I do like that they're doing in both DLC that they've done so far is they've because like the one thing the fan base has really clamored for in recent past has been like a Battle Frontier facility.
Yeah.
And I think it's really great what they're doing is just adding a Battle Frontier facility in each DLC essentially. That's what restricted sparring was. I mean, that's the equivalent of you had some really garbage Battle Frontier facilities in Emerald. Like, we look back on that and say
this is like the battle tunnel, you know. It's not
we don't have to have, they're not all A pluses, Lydian, okay? But they exist. I think the only thing we're missing, because like I do want, like, I forget Gen 4 Battle Frontier, it was cool, we had a battle factory, it's okay. But like Gen 3 Battle Frontier, that Pokemon Emerald Battle Frontier had the medals, and I think the medals are what would make it that much better. Like if they would somehow like unify all of those and say, hey, you get a medal for beating them, I think it would be cool.
Hmm.
I do think the Galar Star tournament is also lackluster unless they're hiding things from us, which I hope they are, because if not, it's very lackluster.
Well, we have the Battle Factory 2.0 anyway. So. No,
that's legit. I'm really okay with that because they tried to bring that back in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, and it was terrible. That was the Battle Agency. That was absolutely terrible because it was like dependent on you having people in your friends list who had already played Battle Agency and weren't level zero.
Yep.
I have this vague memory of that.
I used to specifically do it when Sigma would play so that Sigma and I could grind together. It was literally the worst.
Yeah.
It was absolutely awful.
I've never really played any of these post-game things.
Mm.
It just wasn't exactly my thing.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm slightly more excited about the Galarian Star Tournament because A, I don't have a lot of time to play right now, so a Battle Frontier doesn't sound exciting.
Oh, no, no, no.
But and B, I also, you know, have the time zone problem with most of the people I would play Dynamax Adventure with, so...
Mm-hmm. Just show up, ruin your sleep schedule for a day, and then we're good. You can experience it.
I wish I could. I have way too much work to do to be able to say, oh, I'll just be a zombie tomorrow. That's fine.
I don't know. Like, the Galarian Star Tournament, the thing that I really wish that I could see from it was just not Galar people, if that makes sense. Like, I could understand the purpose of it if they were just like, look, Lance is here. And then like, really cool. And like, and maybe that is still the case because they've definitely kept some stuff under wraps up to this point. From the leak, they've kept some stuff under wraps, and it could be the case. The thing that makes me slightly hopeful is, okay, this is like super random trivia that not a lot of people are going to know because it's like from Pokemon Masters.
Uh-huh.
In Pokemon Masters, there's a discussion between Lance and Steven about how it would be really cool if they could partner up and maybe do it someday in Galar.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It could just be hearsay.
Yeah,
but it'd be really cool.
But, I think your PG-ed argument from last week kind of killed the possible hype for me.
I definitely agree. I want that to be true because I want them to try to do that later on when Pidgeot gets put back in. My only problem right now with TPCI is, like, it's great they're giving us Pokemon back, but, man, if somebody from TPCI could have been, like, back in January, don't worry, they'll all be back within the next couple years. I would feel so much better.
If they just kind of gave that pattern ahead.
If they just explained and gave us some transparency in what the plans were, right? I get not wanting to commit to that, because there could be unforeseen problems, but that's literally my only thing. Like, had they even talked about the DLC during the lead up to Sword and Shield, I think I would have felt a lot better about it too. Sure, they would have gotten blowback, like, oh, they're gonna have DLC, blah blah blah. But they already got that blowback.
Yeah,
like they got it anyway.
How much worse could it have been?
I think they would have decreased like Dexit blowback for one, and maybe they would slightly have increased the crowd that was already yelling at them about DLC.
Yeah, I don't know. They probably did the numbers and said, okay, this is going to be the thing that we say that gives us the least amount of flack, and they got the numbers wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. They got a lot of things wrong with Sword and Shield.
It's a calculated risk, but boy, am I bad at math.
Yeah, that's what the entire 2019 PR of Pokemon felt like. Whereas we took a risk, or didn't take a risk. And I don't know, because like if you're gonna call Dexit, it would have been cool to see a lot more of the cool stuff that they had coming.
Yeah,
I would have been super hyped for a lot more of the Galarians. Like if they would have explained something like Berserker and Runarigus in like the lead up to Sword and Shield, I think I would have been more excited. In that way, if they would have given me stuff like that, but they're just like Sirfetch'd exists, and like, here's Obstagoon.
I mean, I can understand that since, you know, Runarigus evolves from a Gen 5 Galarian Pokemon. I mean, that's if you're trying to get people back from way back in the day, you go Farfetch.
I don't like this argument of, like, if you want people to come back from way back in the day, because I feel like that's been the argument for, like, the past three gens.
But it works every time.
It does. I think it's dumb. Because we did that. I would argue X and Y were a, hey, come back to Pokemon, please, because of Mega Evolution and like you get a Kanto starter within like the first half. Granted, I liked X and Y a lot, and I still think it's one of my favorite Pokemon games of all time. But
yeah,
Sun and Moon did it. They did it real hard. They did it real hard. Then Let's Go happened, which is literally only Gen 1 pandering.
Look, I agree that it's really, really stupid, but you can't argue with the numbers.
I don't know.
Or maybe they look at the numbers and they think that's the thing they're doing right. and it's not, but they don't look at the numbers the right way.
I just don't think they talk to the fan base so much, which is unfortunate. I mean, it seems to be going in the right direction now, because there's that guy on Twitter who was just like, hey, give me suggestions on like UI changes. And then people were like, oh, you should get rid of Dexit. And it's just like, no, he asked for UI changes.
Oh, no.
But I think that's a step in the right direction. Like, they're actually asking for feedback to some extent. And I honestly think that whether Lydian's going to disagree with me, I think Dexit was the reason we got DLC to some extent. Or at least the DLC.
I don't agree to that at all.
Yeah, you can disagree with me as much as you want on that. But I think especially if Crown Tundra is larger than Isle of Armor, or if it just feels more fulfilling is the wrong word, but if it feels more substantial, I think I rest my case on my theory.
Because
Isle of Armor felt very light.
Yeah, but I don't think that they would have seen that blowback, picked up a whole new dev project, or even greenlit one they had been kicking around. Like, it doesn't match. It also just doesn't match how they have to, like, prep things ahead of time. It's like card games, anime, and things like, you can't make a pivot on a dime on fan reaction a year away. It takes longer.
I think they might have said, okay, there might be some blowback, and the DLC is going to fix it. And then there was way more blowback than they expected, and the DLC didn't quite fix it. But I agree with you that it's impossible that they put the Isle of Armor together in 6 months.
I don't know.
On top of it, they were talking about, like, they were talking about cratering motivation at the job place. They were talking about things like Pokemon have to be relatively finalized 10 months in advance. To some degree, because otherwise they cannot get the scripts translated in time. Because they have all of those languages, they all need to be consistent, they all need to be consistent against other canon.
I would say the amount of text in Isle of Armor is significantly lower than the amount of text in the main, in like base Sword and Shield.
Yes, but they still have to deal with their translators' schedules.
Yeah, but it's Pokemon, so you just pay the translators, I mean.
Yeah, pretty much. Honestly, I know some translators for other kinds of businesses, and the usual way they work is, hey, we're gonna pay you a dime, and we did this yesterday.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing that like something as big as Pokemon has their own translators, their own hands
on staff. Yeah.
They get paid well, and they do the job exactly whenever they need them to.
Yeah, it's just going to take time, and you can't finalize. You can, I guess, but I do not think Game Freak is capable of turning that around in 6 months.
That is a fair assessment.
Especially maybe. When their employees all talked about hating the job. They talked about hating being on Twitter. They did. That was a very public news story.
No, that was one guy who said that. That was one guy. I know which news story you're referring to. That was one guy who was just like, we're going to work on
inaccurate.
It was also from like a year. It was from like a year prior to when the story like hit the mainstream too, because he was talking about like Project Gear, which had already come out. It was I don't disagree that there's probably some motivation issues at Game Freak due to the fact that like that's all they do now is Pokemon, and they can't really get out of that cycle.
Was not what I was referring to at all.
Which it one are you talking about?
There was a story. There were a TPCI. Not TPCI, Game Freak employee was talking about how miserable everyone was because of the Dexit blowback. They hadn't expected it to be this bad, and they had been so harassed, no one wanted to work.
Oh, I did not hear that.
So if you're telling me in that environment they decided they were going to turn around a full DLC patch in 6 months, I just don't buy it.
That's a very Japanese thing to do, though.
Yeah, I buy it. I 100% buy it. Also, it was within a year. Like, Isle of Armor didn't come out for a year after they announced Dexit.
Yeah, but they had stuff to show at 6 months.
They had stuff to show, yeah, and I didn't think it looked good when they showed it.
We're really ranting.
Yeah, but we can stop having this fight, and we can go talk about some real news that's factual. So let's go kick it on over to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Radio. Radio Tower. This just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, as we said earlier, Crown Tundra is coming out on Thursday. Probably in the morning, maybe. I don't know. It came out in the morning for Isle of Armor. So who knows?
So apparently the release date is different in Europe and Japan. So I'm guessing it releases at the same time, and it's like late night for you guys,
middle
of the night for us, and morning for Japan, something like
that. It has to be. It has to be at the same time, because it's just going to be an update that goes live.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's all it is, and it's going to take you 15 minutes to download and then you get it.
Late night for you guys, probably like the afternoon of the 22nd.
I'd be okay with that. I don't think it's that bad either. I mean, I would be. I was hoping that they would probably do like another news dump like they did the last time for the release. Maybe that's what happens. I don't know.
We'll see.
I would really like to see that happen, where they just like, here's some news, and they talk about all the things that they haven't shown in Crown Tundra, because their PR team's taking the exact opposite approach of Sword and Shield, where they gave us no information, and like they're back to like Sun and Moon release cycle.
I liked the Sword and Shield news cycle a lot.
I preferred it to the Sword and Shield one. I think the perfect reveal cycle was X and Y.
No.
Where they left like a lot of stuff still.
They left like
for us to find
three Pokemon for us to find.
It was more than three.
No.
That was how many they left for us in Sun and Moon. They left us more than three in
they
in
Sword, left us
in,
like
X and Y.
The Avalug line, half of the Flabébé line, the final evolution.
We didn't know about
Heliolisk.
We didn't know about Heliolisk.
Yes, we did.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, I don't. I will fight you on this.
We knew about Helioptile and not Heliolisk, but
we knew about Helioptile.
Okay, that's fair.
I know we knew about Helioptile, but we didn't know. Like, I think they left like full evolution chains.
Yeah,
out.
But we had like pretty much every evolution family except for Avalug revealed. I was not okay with that.
That I believe. I think they were good. I mean, I'm okay with them revealing like every evolutionary line except for not every Pokemon in that evolutionary line. Like, I was okay with Dreadnought being revealed, but not Choodle.
No.
Also, Choodle's awful, but that's a different story.
that's a different story. No, my jam, and pardon the pun, is stuff like you enter a shop and you find a Milsuri on the counter and you don't know what that is and you want it. And so you go out there and you look for it and you find it. And then you have to have your American friend tell you how the heck you evolved that thing, because it's so absurd.
I forgot about that.
I'm going to be honest. The evolution methods in Sword and Shield were like old school Pokemon evolution methods. Like some of the crazy stuff
I know,
that
I really
they used to have.
It, actually.
I mean, it was. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I'm both for and against it because I think it's.
Galarian,
I think it's really good.
Yamask was too far.
Exactly.
Milsuri is perfect.
Like, Milsuri was okay.
Milsuri is perfect.
Galarian Yamask was absolute insane. It was worse than Malamar.
Yes,
I thought Malamar was like the top of where you go. Like Malamar's like the top, because it's like one of those things where if you're a kid. Like, Malamar should be, like, where it stops. Because, like, you know when you're a kid, you're just, like, rocking around and, like, you're flipping your game upside down, playing upside down. And, like, could you imagine your Inkay just, like, evolves when that happened and you don't understand what's going on? That would be crazy. But I don't think things like Galarian Yamask to Runerigas, because...
That's never going to happen to anyone by accident, ever.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It has to be something that you just find out from, like, somebody data mining and you're on the internet.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I'm not a fan.
And it's impossible to translate across generations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, ugh.
I wouldn't agree with that.
Well, not impossible,
they always seem to find a way.
Just obnoxious.
They seem to find a way.
I should say.
They seem to find a way. Like, they'll just do a thing where it's like,
stone.
This is, here's a rock. It's going to be location-based evolution all over again.
Yeah.
That they already tried to get rid of.
They already solved this problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? They already solved the problem. And they'll just give it an item. Like, they fixed, like, Feebas. Like, Feebas got retconned real hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue Feebas got retconned. But let's move on. Talking about a bus, I guess.
The bus. So, the Pokemon Company has had a very interesting week on YouTube. to say they're making some attempts at content feels pretty fair. So... The first thing they did this week is they released the first episode of a 5-episode series titled Pokemon Bus, Explore Galar. And if you're thinking it's this fun animated series where you're going to go and check out the different locations, a bit of promo, no.
Nope.
No, not that at all. No, they're going to go to they're driving a physical bus to different places in the UK that Sword and Shield's your inspiration.
It's a double-decker bus?
Uh-huh.
It's a double-decker bus, so that's cool.
And it's interesting to watch, I guess. And then later that week, they decided that they should do something for Halloween. So they called up all of their tournament judge hosts, and they called up all of their commentators for the TCG and Pokin for some reason. And they said, hey, can you read a dex entry? So there's like 9 or 10 of them, and it's just someone...
15.
Oh, there's 15
of them.
No.
Goodness.
Yeah.
And it's just...
If you can name all of those PokeTubers, you win, I guess.
You would do better than Thatch and I did. I think yeah. I got one.
I need like 5, and that was about it. Like, it was bad.
And the videos are literally just, hi, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so. I'm going to read Inkay's dex entry. They read it, make a face, and it's over. 40
yeah,
seconds
it's like 30
tops.
Seconds.
Content.
Yeah, bad. Content. We should do that on Puckle. Hi, I'm Thatch from the Puckle podcast. Let me read you this dex entry.
You do that, but we put a trivia game around it.
It's so much better.
I know. No, you don't. I just read the entry and then we're done.
That's insane. But so, yeah, the Crown Tundra is almost here. So we get Cap Pikachu's thrown at our heads one after the other. The Unova Cup is now available and they will all be available until the end of November. And at the end of October, you get the brand new World Cap Pikachu. And you can find the codes for this on Cerebi or on our Discord server.
I'm excited for World Cap. Nothing else. World Cap, though.
I guess.
Pokemon Shirts is releasing 5 special designs that are only going to be available until November 13th. So if you want them, you have to, like, go now. They're designs because typically you just get one Pokemon, but these actually have some Pokemon paired up and some not. Like Espeon and Umbreon are together, Larvitar and Tyranitar. There's a new Snorlax one, a Ditto one, and a Ghastly and Gengar one. Those shirts are nice. I would also argue maybe almost $100 nice.
Yeah.
They I bought one.
These are the original
it's
Stitch,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the original Stitch, yeah. I bought, like, the Totodile one as a Hawaiian shirt, and it's perfect. So, like, I mean, it's also, it also, like, feels very good. It's done, it's made very well. So, I do recommend original Stitch if anybody is thinking about it. They don't sponsor me. Mm. They should. I really do like their shirts and their products. Also, because we can't have more news that has no consequences. On Monday, October 19th, the day this comes out, being the final day, Tetris 99 players can get a Pokemon Sword and Shield theme by collecting 50 points. I don't know how you collect points in Tetris 99.
You but do Tetris?
You need 50 of them. I assume you play Tetris. Yes, absolutely.
I think.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't played Tetris 99 in forever.
I've never played it.
If you like Tetris, it's a good thing to do. I'm also going to skip over video game battling news because the only thing we have is that if you played in the Battle of Legends, go get your 50 battle points. Have fun. Thanks. Thatch forgot to sign up again because I always forget it's like Thursday at 7 that I have to sign up
by.
It's such a weird time.
Well, it's because it's like UTC. It's Friday midnight UTC. And so it's like 7 o'clock. Mm-mm. I'll sign up for the next one and stream it. I promise, guys. I very much promise. All right, talk some Pokemon Go at me, Linian, because we've got a lot of Pokemon Go. Holy balls.
Yeah, Pokemon Go is beginning one of their many, many new events.
It's so suffocating how much stuff they have going on,
and
in my opinion. It feels very suffocating.
It's suffocating, and no one's out and playing it because, Pokemon.
Well, they had some blowback from that earlier.
I know.
Did you hear about that?
Because
they were like, oh, we're going to end all the pandemic stuff. And it's just like, you know, the pandemic's not over, right?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, but I don't know anymore.
Yeah, but it's really hurting our bottom line. Pokemon Go is beginning a new event style called Catch Mastery. The first event will be Catch Mastery Ghost. Drifloon will appear more in the wild. Timed and exclusive field research to encounter ghost types and earn Gengar Mega Energy. An increased catch experience for nice, great, excellent, and curveball throws.
The fact that there were like 3 different things that you mentioned in that second line blows my mind. Because it's like, there's time research, exclusive field research, and Gengar Mega Energy. And it's just like, that's too many things to worry about.
And there's like 4 more bullet points of news.
Yeah, and it's just like, that's so many, like, this is suffocating. Yeah. Like, So I enjoy Pokemon Go. I stopped playing when Megas came out because I knew Megas were dumb in Pokemon Go. And that's like all my friends wanted to do. They're like, oh, we want to do Mega Raids. And I'm just like, no.
No.
All right, but go on, Limsicott. Yeah. This one's semi-interesting.
Semi-interesting, exactly. So until October the 20th, which is tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Monday when it comes out, players can obtain special red eggs from defeating Go Rocket leaders. I love eggs. I cannot defeat Go Rocket leaders because my Pokemon are not good enough. These red eggs can hatch into various dark and poison type Pokemon, which adds Vullaby, Sandile, and Ponyard into the game. I think they are also in the wild, but don't quote me on that.
I'm not quoting.
Special research and increased dark and poison Pokemon are also in the wild.
There's so much stuff happening. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this hurts my head. From now until October 23rd, Origin Form Giratina will be featured in the 5-star raids. That I understand. I understand that part. The Pokemon Go has also tweaked Mega Evolution because it's bad and they should feel bad. Evolution now lasts for 8 hours instead of 4, and players can hold up to 2,000 Mega Energy. First of all, when I read this before the show, this is the first time I heard that there was a limit on how much Mega Energy you could hold.
Same.
Which blows my mind that there was a limit, so I guess they really wanted that raid pass money.
Yeah.
But thanks, Niantic. It just feels like such a shell of what it used to be, you know?
Yeah.
Until they put in that level 50 upgrade. That's in the code, by the way. They have level ups for up to level 50 in the back end of Pokemon Go. They just haven't implemented it yet. Everybody thought they were going to do it at GoFest, but that obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
But also apparently my favorite thing that I heard about it, because you get these people who are just like, I have 3 times level 20 or level 40 experience or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And what I heard, what the rumor is that they won't count the experience you earned before they introduce the new level cap.
What?
I would be surprised if they did, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it's to make you want to level up after you're level 40. Who cares if you go from level 40 to level 50 right away?
I would be so mad.
Niantic's not going to care. Niantic's not going to care because you're going to buy more lucky eggs.
Oh
then.
My goodness, I would be furious.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, seeing how they're monetizing Pokemon Go and how they're really trying to push the transactions, especially with Megas, because Megas are all about that remote raid pass money right now. Also, they said that they were going to try to, the increase Pokestop and gym range was going to be turned off at some point,
which
I thought was very disappointing because with how inaccurate the GPS is sometimes, this was a great way to fix it. And I don't think they should ever go back. I don't think they should ever go back. That's just me. All right, Linian, tell us more, because this isn't over yet.
We're back. As mentioned last week, Pokemon Go has been doing various special events in countries across the globe, and they will now be an event in North America.
Oh, this is my favorite
one. On November 8th? Oh, gee, I read ahead. Now I remember what this is.
Yep.
On November 8th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time, and it is tied to Grubhub Plus membership.
What?
Yes. Yes, keep going. It gets better.
Plus members can get a ticket from now until October 28th. Timed research containing Charizard Mega Energy, Bulbasaur, Charizard, Squirtle, Pikachu, Unknowns G and H for Grub and Hub, Sableye, Patrat, Machino, and Ferroseed, and Ferroseed can be shiny by the power invested in Grubhub.
Grubhub. That's such a random collab, too. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. All I'm saying is they should have broken their rules and introduced a Gen 7 Pokemon. They should have gone for Grubhub.
Oh.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
That's a missed opportunity. That's a missed opportunity. Okay, Whimsicott, take us home because we're still not done.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Until the end of November, players will be able to redeem one remote raid pass per week as long as you have less than 3 in your inventory, and each pass must be redeemed within the week it is offered. So if you try to get all of them in the last week, you cannot. Mm-hmm. And also, as P. McGee says in the news document, in case you weren't ready for the Pokemon Go news to be done, Go Battle League has shifted to Master League format and will be running that until October the 26th.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay. So Small piece of Puckle news here at the end. This is mostly for McGee, because I know him and Shark Finnegan have been working on this. They've been working on a Crown Tundra Guide for Pokemon Sword and Shield. And it's an organized document. He says that it's mostly just Serebii links, but organized in a way that's actually helpful.
Was everyone that
shade
needs that.
At Joe?
No, it's not.
I hope not.
It's more, we know that we're not doing all of the heavy lifting, but trust us, there's added value. Everyone needs a bit of help through the town crundra.
The town crundra.
The town crundra.
That's DLC.
I can't say town crundra.
Oh my gosh. Linian, spoiler alert for our D&D campaign, but now there's going to be a town you go to named Crundra.
Crundra.
All right, moving on. We are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, or we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Linian and Whimsicott today are going to be operating as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions from you guys over on the Discord. And they are competing with against their fellow co-host in a race to 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. Not 25. That is not a generous god. And...
just a gold.
It should be 20. It should be 25 because I keep saying that all the time, and it's like a nicer number than 20. But we'll think about it next time. Somebody will complain. They'll want like a pin. I don't know. but yeah, they are competing for that. There are 5 questions, each worth varying amounts of points, to give them a total of 7. They can use a hint as a lifeline throughout everything. However, if they get all the questions correct and they don't use the hint, they can cash in for an extra point for a possible total of 8 today. If you are playing along at home and you are submitting questions, you can also be entered into a chance if you live in the domestic United States. Well, I mean, just in the United States in general. Hawaii and Alaska are included in this. You can be entered into a drawing to get a $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all of your cool, nerdy art needs. So on that note, let's jump right into it, says Philip DeFranco. And our first one is going to be from MOMO. What is the only non-poison type Pokemon to learn Gunk Shot via level up?
Ooh.
Huh. So, what is the Trash Man?
The Trash Man, I love that.
I'm...
Huh.
Okay. So...
By level up.
I think
up.
The only Pokemon that can learn Gunk Shot by level up is the Trubbish line anyway. Oh! I know this one. And it's okay. Dumb. It's Octillery.
Oh, yeah, it learns a lot of stupid stuff by level up.
Yeah, it's because it's a canon. And I know that because I was looking at the stupid thing in PTU the other day, because someone was like a crit build. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Let's see how this sniper works. Why does Octillery get Gunk Shot by level up?
Yeah, I totally believe you on that.
Octillery is correct. It learns it at level 1. It also learns a lot of weird moves because it's a tank. It gets Bullet Seed, it gets Rock Blast, and Psybeam all by level up. So its move pool is very funky. Right, you guys are 1-for-1.
Funky Gunk Shot.
Okay, you have 2 choices here. You have a Ruby Sapphire question and a Pokemon Adventures manga question. Which one do you want?
So I don't know anything about the manga, Whimsicott, so on you.
Let's put it this way. I have read the manga up to the Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald arc, so I'll
That's
let
the only
catch
good place
the
to do
sign.
It. All right, manga time. Let's go. Okay. This one's from The British Gent. In the Pokemon Adventures manga, what is the first Pokemon we see Red catch? Not something that he already had prior to it, prior to the manga starting. What is the first Pokemon he catches in the manga?
So... he starts off with a Poliwag, and then he gets the Pikachu from Oak. The first one he catches, I think, it's been a while. I want to say...
would it be Pikachu?
He doesn't catch the Pikachu, I don't think. And we see it before he meets Pikachu, because there's the scene where he and his Poliwag are out in the woods, and they actually see Mew, if I'm not mistaken. And he's out catching Pokemon.
That is correct.
He doesn't catch Mew, but he's catching something that I think might be something like a Rattata or a Caterpie, something simple like that. I'm not sure, though. Let me think about it.
I have no idea. You.
I remember the Mew from that scene. I don't remember what Red was catching.
You do have the hint.
We do. It is kind of early on to use it, but if we are floundering in the dark, it might be worth it, Linian. What do you think?
Sure.
This Pokemon was in the title screen for Pokemon Red in the intro.
So it's either Nidorino or Gengar, and I have a very hard time thinking that they're going to lead with Gengar.
Yeah, same. But when you say the title screen, that's not what he means.
The animation. I mean, every Pokemon's in the title screen.
Exactly. So I was going to say, that's a lot of it. Okay, so it is a Nidorino. Fair.
Nidorino is correct. that is correct. You are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. This is the part where I read you a Pokedex entry, and then you try to guess the Pokemon that Pokedex entry belongs to. If I see you guys are riding the Struggle Bus, I will give you a second Pokedex entry to help you answer the question. If you get it on the with only one entry, you get 2 points. If you get it with 2 entries, you get 1 point. If you don't get it after everything, you get 0 points.
Fair.
So our first, our question this week is, our Pokedex entry this week is going to come to you from 3 Magatek. It's Heart Gold Soul Silver Pokedex entry reads, it has a very sensitive nose. It touches new things with its nose to examine them. Who's that Pokemon?
It can't be Nosepass, right? Like,
it doesn't sound like Nosepass.
I feel like I've heard this Dex entry before, and I think it's Swinub?
It sounds like Swinub.
And that would make sense for Heart Gold.
It would make sense for Heart Gold, and Swinub is all about, like, it's a snuffly little thingy. Like,
I'm going to give you a second Pokedex entry.
Fair.
Okay. Its Emerald Pokedex entry reads, these Pokemon live on herds of ice floes. Using its powerful flippers, it shatters ice. It dives into the sea to hunt prey 5 times a day.
Oh, it's either Sphele or Celio, because seals and noses.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it's Sphele, because I don't think that thing can dive for
it
predators.
Just rolls off. Yeah. So I want to say Celio. Yeah.
Celio is correct. Good. You guys are 3 for 3. Yes, it's not Swinub. It is Celio. I like this new format, because then we can ask you the hard Pokedex entry question, or Pokedex entries. All right, this next one then is going to be worth, I believe, 2 points. This is a good one. I like this one. This is from Gomez Adam 72. There are 2 answers. I need 1 for each point. Aside from events or hacking, there are 2 ways to obtain Fionn in Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. What are they? I should say Gen 4 is general. I think saying Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum is bad, but there are 2 ways in Gen 4 to obtain Fionn. What are they?
Breed of Manaphy and Breed of Fionn?
No, you can't breed a
Breeding Manaphy is correct.
You can't breed a Fionn. The other way you can get it, because, so the Manaphy egg obviously hatches into a Manaphy.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about events. We have excluded events and hacking.
You could theoretically do this today.
Okay. Yeah. Was it a bonus from some other game?
My Pokemon Ranch.
No, My Pokemon Ranch gives you Mew if you fill out the 1,000 slots. So what are the other Gen 4 spin-offs?
Well, I mean, Ranger gave you Manaphy to begin with.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be that.
There was more than one Ranger game, right?
Yeah, but they didn't. Wouldn't have given you Fionn.
Okay.
So you got gifts throughout other games. Like, Ranch gave you more than just Mew, and Battle Revolution gave you, like, Electivire and Magmortar and all of that.
Okay.
But I legitimately would put money down on My Pokemon Ranch.
Okay.
Just given, like, Mew was, like, the grand prize, and Fionn is such a nothing Pokemon.
So you're saying, like, 500 got you Fionn and 1,000 got you Mew. I can believe that. I can go for that.
Yeah, or like 700 got you Jirachi, because we give that out annually anyway. So, okay. like, top shelf is Mew. This is like, you know, a mixer, a Fionn mixer.
I'm down with that. Okay.
My Pokemon Ranch is correct. Fionn, you got, so you can put up to, in the US version, because there was an updated version for Japan to make it compatible with Platinum that the US never got.
Mm-hmm.
You could obtain, you could put up to 1,000 Pokemon in My Pokemon Ranch. By putting 999 in, that's when Haley would give you Mew.
Mm-hmm.
If you only put 250 in, you would also get a Fionn. You had to trade a Leafeon for it. Not even 500, okay. Yeah. She did give you like a bunch of other cool stuff though. Like you could, she would just like randomly trade you stuff. Like Pikachu, sure, who cares? Vulpix, Ponyta, Lickitung holding TM44 for whatever reason.
What
Tangela,
is TM44?
I have no idea. I have no idea. She would also trade you like it's Tangela rest. With already knowing ancient power at level 1.
Oh,
huh.
Cool.
She would trade you an Eevee. Adaptability. Oh, wait, that was it all. There's no hidden abilities. This is Gen 4. Then you have Aerodactyl. Then you had Yanma, also knowing ancient power, but it was at level 45 and not level 1. And then, yeah, so there's a lot of things. Oh, wow, they came. Oh, my gosh, there's a Safari Ball Shroomish. She would trade you a Safari Ball Shroomish. What is that?
I love that. Beautiful is what it is.
Also a Safari Ball Croagunk. Wow. Okay, cool. Interesting. That's good to know. That is good to know. All right. So on that note, let's get you to that final question. You guys right now are 5 for 4. Let's see if you can go for 6 today. And we'll give you your base stat question. Today, we're going to ask you, what final stage steel type? This is from Upside Down Malamar. What final stage steel type has the lowest HP?
Final stage steel.
By final stage, you mean something that has evolved?
I will say yes in this case, because that's what the answer is, but no in general.
Okay, no, because fully evolved doesn't mean that it has evolved.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Final
yeah,
stage
it, does, it hasn't.
Like
yeah, it doesn't
it
necessarily
evolved.
Mean it's evolved, but this one in particular has. I'll give you that free okay. hint.
Okay, so Thatch did knock out my top answer, which was Kartana.
Kartana's HP is pretty decent.
Yeah, it's the special defense that's just not there at
oh,
Sigma.
Oh, right. I was thinking special attack for... Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Okay.
So, HP. A fully evolved what? Steel type that has no HP.
Every like, frail steel type I can think of just has bad defenses and decent HP. Like, Excadrill, trash defenses, but, like, over a surprising amount of HP.
No, it has really good HP, actually. Like
yeah,
80-something.
It's, like, on the top of the stat. No, it's over 100.
Over 100, even. Okay, cool. So, steel types. I don't think it's going to be Magnezone. I don't think it's going to be Fortress. I don't think it's going to be Aggron. Something that's like
I'm gonna say it and you're gonna feel real silly, Whims.
Mm-hmm.
What has the lowest HP of like basically any Pokemon? It's a Gen 1.
Weedle? I don't know.
Diglett.
Oh, it's Alolan Dugtrio. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Alolan Dugtrio is correct. It has a base HP of 35.
Good job, Linian.
After that, second place lowest HP of fully evolved steel types, Mawile with 50, followed up by Klefki at 57, and Durant at 58. Other Pokemon with pre-evolution start at Bastiodon, Wyrmidon, Probopass, Klingkling, and Aegislash all at 60.
Fair.
Mm.
Yep. All right, so that gives you guys 6 today. That does change up the leaderboard pretty significantly. So we're going to go ahead and retally everything. So let me move everything around. I believe Claude9 is still in first place with 27 points. However, we have a tie in second place now with Sigma and Linian at 25. P. McGee is in fourth at 20. Seth Vilo and Whimsicott are tied in fifth with 19. Basket is in seventh with 12. Sublime is in eighth with 10. And Jushiro and Shamu are tied for ninth with 6. Tune in next week. I don't know who's on next week. It might be Claude. Claude wants his debut victory prize, I swear. All right, on that note, though, tune in next week for some more Puckle's Poke Quiz. We are going to go ahead and kick it on over to the topic. We got some new iTunes reviews here at Puckle, so this week we've got one from Pokemaster12365. Why I love Puckle. Puckle is the best Pokemon podcast you can get, period. While driving in the car, while lying playing Pokemon, you can listen anywhere. The hosts are so friendly and give you lots of great tips in all things Pokemon. Whether you like Pokemon Go, the TCG, or the games, they will talk on it all. With an average episode length of an hour and 30 minutes, you have a whole heap of content all week. Did I mention they upload weekly? Keep playing and Puckle on. Well, thank you for that. You too can get your iTunes review right on the show. All you have to do is write an iTunes review or review us wherever you listen to us on the podcast. But until then, thank you for that. And we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is Crown Tundra hype. I don't know what to call it. I mean, Crown Tundra is coming out next week. I am very surprised. This week. That's what I meant, right? Did I say that? Is that what I said? That's what I meant. It comes out on Thursday at some time. I'm very excited for it, mostly because Isle of Armor was good, and it kind of showed us what DLC could be. Crown Tundra seems like it's got more.
Yeah.
Like, I really feel like Isle of Armor was just like, here, we want to do a DLC, here's like a little bit of something, and we'll give you the rest of it. We'll give you like the good stuff in the fall.
I don't know if I would call it the good stuff, but it feels more organic. Isle of Armor was cool, but it didn't feel very like cohesive with itself once you were done with the dojo story.
Isle of Armor felt like they had a different concept for the wild area and decided to throw it in.
Yeah.
That's really what Isle of Armor felt like. They revealed everything for Isle of Armor before we got Isle of Armor, right? Yeah. I don't know if there was a secret left other than like, oh, you need to go chase the Slowpoke around.
Yeah.
Safari balls are back, guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's all cute. Also, the Cramorant mechanics are dumb, but that's fine. They are absolutely stupid. I was just like, oh man, maybe we'll get like Kurt's granddaughter. That'd be really cool. Nope. Mm-mm. That'd only make sense.
I still want my Great Ball Mandalorian cult at some point, but...
I feel bad that they've really tainted Apricorns.
Yeah.
Apricorns are just forever tainted. Mm. But I like that they found a way to utilize items that they've just been carrying around in the background code of the game for 10 years.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
That's fair.
So that's nice. I like that we got the pixels back for that. Yeah, I wish they wouldn't have tainted Apricorns, but that's neither here nor there. Isle of Armor had like, you know, we got Galarian Slowbro. And then we got a lot of stuff coming in, a lot of new stuff coming, more so than like Kubfu and Urshifu, which I kind of think Kubfu's a little pointless, but that's a different question for a different day. It's cute, but I don't understand its point, because like, especially with like the context in which it was released, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, hey, we know most of you probably already finished the game, but here's a Pokemon that you're going to go evolve in the next 15 minutes.
It's one of those things where it doesn't make sense to be a post-game DLC, but like if you were to play the game and head there as soon as you could, it kind of does. It's like, hey, you've been with it, you've had this adventure, and now you get to make it evolve.
I was waiting for Crown Tundra to come out before like I wanted to go ahead and do like another playthrough, because I wanted to go play through the game with the DLC inserted so that you could go to the Isle of Armor. One, you can go through the game with some like other stuff, but two, you could get Kubfu, and like you kind of have like this side... I imagine it's like a side quest in like an RPG. Typically, yeah. I mean, I guess Pokemon is an RPG. It's like a side quest where it's just like, hey, you're best friends with Kubfu now. You can go over to the tower and then evolve it. Part of that final step before you go to like the final challenge. You know what I mean? That's kind of cool in that sense. Like, I think it would be cool as like a story building moment. I don't think Crown Tundra will be that way. I think Crown Tundra is like 100% post game.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah. With all the legends, I think it's just 100% post game. It's our ultra wormhole. You know, equivalent. And that's what worries me about like DLC 2. Like, what's left, you know? The answer's Pidgeot and half the starters.
And Houndoom.
And Ampharos. Ampharos is the one that boggles me. I'm going to be completely honest. We just sold a $500 plush and we sold out of it. Should we put that Pokemon in the game? Nah, bro.
No.
Oh, you know that Pokemon that won our favorite Pokemon poll back in 2020? Yeah, is that coming? Nah, bro. Nah, we're not going to put that in either. I felt bad at first. I said this last week. I felt bad at first because I was like, oh, they only left the garbage out, which is only semi-true.
Minior's out, so I can't agree. Yeah. Just contractually.
I can't agree because half the starters are still missing and stuff like that. Like, there has to be something. They don't just keep half the starters out and not put the starters in. That'd be like a really stupid move, in my opinion.
I mean, it's a move they sort of pulled with Mega Evolution before, but nowhere near this level of just, you can't have your Greninja in your game.
Yeah, you can't have your Greninja. I mean, I'm okay with Ash Greninja being gone. That thing could be gone forever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ash Greninja can be the cosplay Pikachu of Gen 7, for all I care. It could stay there.
Greninja was my first level 100 Pokemon.
Oh, man. See, yeah. That's why I think leaving, like, half the starters out is a bad idea. Because, like, there's some other kid who's, like, that was their first Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And, like, Greninja's, like, their jam. And they're just like, oh, man, I can't bring my Greninja over. And,
yeah.
I mean, at least bring the starters over. Fine, leave Rattata out. I don't care.
Joy cares.
Joey cares. I miss it for the memes, if anything. Like I said last week, though, I really like it for the meta. I really think this is really good. This has been really healthy for, like, the official Pokemon meta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's been very, very healthy, just, like, slowly introducing Pokemon.
Yeah. And then this week, Landorus comes back.
Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry. Ow.
But I think it's interesting because the stuff that they're introducing is, like, theoretically could compete on that level. Like, I don't think Calyrex will do anything unless certain data mine information is to be believed, but I don't want to cover that in the main topic.
I do want to take a half second and just mention, like, there is stuff they haven't talked about, which makes me think that there's still more in Crown Tundra that we might mm-hmm. that we might not know about, which is exciting to me.
Yeah.
I'm also excited to see, given the Pokemon that actually have dex entries for Crown Tundra, if we're going to mm-hmm. be demythicalizing, like, a ton of Pokemon.
Mm.
Because there are dex entries for things like Deoncé. There's dex entries for Victini. There's dex entries for a ton of mythical Pokemon.
Yeah, and they put them in a tournament, right?
We just had our first tournament. This is happening right now as we're talking, but they had their first tournament where, like, they legally allowed, like, mythicals into it, which is kind of interesting. And I would love to see a world where they demythicalize a lot of mythicals. Like, make them mythicals for the generation they're in. Fine. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's demythicalize them afterwards. Like, I thought that was fantastic with Deoxys. Like, that would be a good move, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I had not had the Deoxys encounter spoiled. So mm-hmm. I was just doing the Delta episode. I'm like, this is fine. And then the triangle came out and started Ooh. Doing the thing from the puzzle. And I went,
yep.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah. It sounds like at minimum, Keldeo might get demythicalized from some of the leaks, which would be really cool. I would love to see more of them get demythicalized. And we got new Pokemon too. Like, we got two new Regis, which is really cool.
I'm afraid of their stat lines.
It could potentially be bad. Yeah. I still don't think they'll be fast, if it makes you feel better.
Oh, I don't think they'll be fast. I'm just afraid.
they might be like really, really, like, offensively oriented, but they also might not be able to get an attack off ever.
Trick Room exists.
Trick Room does exist, which would be fun. That sounds fun.
I mean, all you do is give them, like, 65 base speed so they can get outsped both in and out of Trick Room.
And VGC is going to be plagued with, like, the Regigigas wheezing nonsense for, like, the first week.
Yeah.
Stack attack
is actually going to be good. In a Dynamax meta, stack attack is going to be good.
So, question, because this is actually, like, this is something, like, Fufu 2 is going to probably make a video on.
If
a stack attacker knocks out Galarian Weezing, does it get the boost from Beast Boost or not?
I don't know which way it activates. I have to double check.
It usually activates after you kill something.
I mean, we could do this now with Moxie, right? You could do that right now.
I think what happens is Weezing exits battle, and then it checks if you knock something out. And because Weezing fainted, like, it's the same way if something triggers a focus sash, you don't get a Moxie boost, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't check if it did enough damage. It checks if it's still on the field. So I would think it would still give the boost.
It should work, yes.
I'm going to double check, but somebody did it. Does neutralizing gas... this is like before... Wait, because they tried to do it with Pursuit. Guys, Pursuit doesn't exist anymore. That's not a move. What Pokemon moves
Thank
Pursuit?
Goodness.
As much as I didn't feel good about the move calling at first because everything else was still raw, I think most of the move calling was done well.
I think it was done well. I personally was kind of thrown by it because... like, I didn't get into battles for a good few months. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to do Summer League, and I was like, wait, why can't I have this move on Chansey anymore? What happened?
I mean, I did like the move call. It was a good rebalancing.
Mm-mm.
And a lot of them were just redundant.
Yeah.
You don't need Karate Chop. You just don't.
So, like, stuff like that I appreciated for playthroughs. I don't think Sword and Shield has the same playthrough style as previous games, though. So, like, I don't entirely disagree, but, like, with playthroughs in, like, older Pokemon games, I really like having these low-power moves, because not only when you level up do you get, like, your power boost, but you'll eventually learn a new move that's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was that they didn't remove them, like, and just say, you don't get anything, you just have, like, tackle, and then your end game. It was they replaced it with things like low kick or low sweep, things that just were more interesting than just, hey, it's a fighting move.
I agree with that. I'm not mad about it. I think removing hidden power and then, like, changing up some movesets to give some Pokemon good things. Like, I think Sylveon's, like, the perfect example. It used to run with hidden power fire all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of hidden power, and they gave it mystical fire.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the best things. Because, one, you can still get coverage on these Pokemon because they give them moves like this.
Mm-mm.
You can still get similar coverage, but you can know what kind of coverage they're going to have.
Yeah.
I think part of it was they were afraid to give Pokemon moves like, you know, quote unquote, like mystical fire, because then they'd also have another hidden power type too.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I just think that was a Swiss Army knife.
Too much coverage. I think hidden power, especially after they redid it to be like base 60 power all the time, that was I think that was the nail in the coffin for making hidden power too good.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the reason you're not going to see some Pokemon that were monsters beforehand be as monstrous in VGC when they come back. Like, Thundurus, I think, comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Thundurus was, like, a big deal in VGC, but I think without having Hidden Power Ice, you're not going to see it nearly as much.
See, the thing is that a lot of the things that benefited from having Hidden Power were also taken down by Hidden Power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The thing that is going to be curious to me is to see how Landorus is handled in VGC.
Galarian Articuno with an Adrenaline Orb. So you get a +2 special attack, +1 speed. You're fine.
I think they came up with good answers, because I think they're paying way more attention to their competitive scene than they ever were before this gen.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think I will use Urshifu as the example until the day I die. Urshifu is such a well-designed Pokemon for competitive. They very specifically chose its speed stat to go with its ability to shake things up.
I just realized you can give an Adrenaline Orb to Milotic.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's very, very cool. I wouldn't be surprised if the Galarian like Articuno, Moltres, and Zapdos end up being powerhouses, just because they got designed well enough to play well.
Yeah.
To play well.
I think Galarian Zapdos will not replace Zapdos.
No,
I think the two are just
definitely not
very
proper.
Different, and that's fine. I do think Galarian Articuno and Galarian Moltres are probably just going to unless something weird happens, they'll probably just overstep their other versions.
I'm not as excited about Galarian Moltres. I think Dark Flying is a poopy typing for not Mandibuzz. That's unfortunate, but because I don't think Moltres has the bulk like Mandibuzz or even like Eviolite Murkrow have. So that's unfortunate, but I think Galarian Articuno is probably the most exciting of the three.
I mean, it looks really cool, but...
It looks really cool, and if it's got stat distribution similar to Articuno with that typing, I think it'll be better.
Yeah, and it's also it's Articuno in a game with boots, and that matters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
Boots in singles is like, that's the one thing that I'm most disappointed that we can't play like full OU on cart.
Yeah.
Is because boots exist, and it's such a cool item that fixes a lot of problems with entry hazards that were breaking the game.
It was literally the item I kept asking for last gen, saying this is the item they need to do next gen. They did it, and they didn't let me play OU boots.
I still blame Nintendo servers for that. I still blame it. I blame Nintendo and not TPCI. Because Nintendo, like, after they went to Nintendo Online, they just, like, they're, like, babying their, I'm going to put servers in quotes, because a lot of it's still peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're babying the connection, and I don't know. It's like, I mean, I don't know what I expected, because it's Nintendo doing online. They've never been, like, really on the ball, and my answer was always, well, at least it's free.
Yeah, and now it's not.
And now it's not, and so... I mean, if we're paying them money, like, I'm more than happy to pay $60 a year for Nintendo Switch Online if it means that we're going to get something that works.
If they give me a 60-minute timer and I can actually play with you guys again, I would actually pay that.
I would do anything to play OU again. I'm hoping they kind of... I hope they kind of listen to us on that front, at minimum. I think the voice has been just as loud from a lot of, like, the PokeTubers on that. I know A-Drive has been really yelling about spectator mode, and which I think stems from the same issue as their 20-minute timer.
Can't do draft league as well with the
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are seeing these limitations. So I'm hoping that we get some kind of remedy for that in the near future.
Fingers crossed.
That's what I'm hoping. I really hope that we can get some kind of remedy in the near future. If anything, I assume like Gen 9. Like that's when we'll see the remedy. I would also, my hope, like perfect 2020 or 2021 for Pokemon, in my opinion, would be like DLC Pack 2, which is a, I don't know, I call it a 50-50 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's possible. DLC Pack 2, they give us a Pokemon collection for like Gens 1 through 3 or something on the 25th anniversary, like Mario 35.
Mm.
And that way they're just like straight compatible with home.
I would love that.
Instead of being compatible with just bank.
Playing Emerald on the Switch?
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Oh man, I feel really good.
We won't know anything until February though. I doubt they're not going to
tease. They wouldn't tell us until Pokemon Day. I guarantee it. Do you know, maybe we get our Gen 4 remakes finally. Because like you do Gens 1 through 3 as like the here's just like a pack. And then you say, hey, this November, watch out for Gen 4 remakes.
Yeah.
Because especially with the Pokedex leak that we got from Crown Tundra, like it seems like it's happening. They're missing a lot of key players that are specifically Gen 4 key players.
Yeah, let's put it this way. I'm not optimistic about DLC 2 or
I'm not optimistic about
Virtual
DLC 2
console stuff, but I am faintly optimistic about Gen 4 remakes. And you could say, Whimsicott, aren't you the one who hates Gen 4? And I'm just like, I'm the one who doesn't remember Gen 4 because of how mind-numbingly slow
it did
it
play
is,
very slow. It did
making it incredibly boring.
Somebody's got like a minute-long video on YouTube of a Chansey getting a one-hit knockout.
Oh my goodness.
One-hit KO'd. And it's literally the worst thing in the entire world.
I really want to give Gen 4 a chance. If you're giving me Gen 4 on an engine that actually runs, I'm going to be so happy.
Yeah, it's like it just because like it was the HP fell at like an HP rate. It was constant.
Yeah, X per second, it not was, percentage.
Yeah, it wasn't percentage per second. It was HP per second. And
crazy.
It took so long. It was like a level 100 Chansey getting one hit KO'd by something. And it took like a full minute for it to drop to zero.
Wow.
It was really bad. So that game is not optimized to be very fast. But that's my solid prediction for like 2021. I think Gen 4 remakes are, I think that's the most likely scenario.
Mm.
That's what I'll put. I think that's the most likely thing that's going to come out of 2021. Everything else, it would be icing.
Yeah.
In my opinion, because I think you can finish the decks with what's in there with what's left over in Gen 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually did sit down. I think I mentioned this last week, but yeah, I did sit down and looked at like past national dexes to see which ones had the most overlap. But Gen 4 was not the winner, surprisingly. Mm. The winner was Gen 6.
Oh, well,
regional
yeah,
the regional
everything.
It's like everything that they're missing, though, which is really weird.
Hmm.
It's like more than half of what's missing after Crown Tundra is available in X and Y's regional decks.
Interesting.
Very surprising. Isn't that interesting? It's really weird because like X and Y took really good care to like put all of the rats in for some reason, like all the rodents up until that. I think it was missing Rattata and that's it.
It was.
Yeah, I think, but it had the other five.
Yeah.
Which is just nuts to me to think about. Like,
why does Watchhog need to be there? It's fine.
Some of them are surprisingly late in the regional decks too.
Yeah.
Like I think one of them's in like the last 100. Which is really surprising. That was nuts to think about. Because, like, yeah, they're missing a few things. They get covered in a lot of different places. I could also see, with what we're talking about, what's missing, a lot of those Pokemon are, like, the big hitters are available in Diamond and Pearl.
Mm.
If you were to take, like, Platinum's decks and then split the regionals, or, like, the version exclusives between Diamond and Pearl still, I think you would be hitting a lot of notes.
That is very interesting.
I think you'd hit a lot of notes there. Because if you look at a lot of the Pokemon that are missing, like Gliscor, Yanmega, a lot of them are Pokemon that evolve in Gen 4 from other Pokemon. Probopass, another one.
That's true.
I think it ends up being like an overlap of like 60 or 70 from the current regional decks.
Do we have like Chimeko?
No, but Shingling is like really prominent in Diamond and Pearl. Yeah, no, exactly. Tropius is also in a surprising number of regional dexes.
Right? Like,
it's, like
you
what?
You think that a giant dinosaur made out of palm trees wouldn't show up in
you
pretty much every regional
so
dex?
Right?
Better.
It shows up in so many regional dexes. I couldn't believe, like, it's in the Gen 4 regional decks. It's in the Gen 6 regional decks.
Arguably, Sinnoh is the worst place ever for a Tropius. years.
I'm blown up. I'm surprised it wasn't in the Gen 7 regional decks.
It wasn't, you're right.
It was in
Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It was added to the whatever it's called, Executor Island, and it also gets the
move
Dragon Slam.
Does it really? Oh my gosh, Tropius, you're so cool.
Tropius gets Dragon Hammer by breeding, so I thought that was cool because it's found on a place where it would do so.
Tropius knows what's up. Oh my gosh, yeah. Tropius is my jam.
Banana jam.
I'm excited. I mean, there's a lot of Pokemon that we're missing. Most of them, if you notice, the ones that are missing are the ones with multiple forms as well.
Mm.
I really do buy, like, we had issues with the models.
By the way, I noticed in Pokemon Go, I think, that I was wrong all along. Whimsicott had the bump I've been complaining about all along. You just couldn't see it in the previous models because of the way it was shaded.
Good to know. Good to know. I'll keep that in my back pocket.
You know I never let anything, like, hang in.
Yeah. But on that note, I think this is a good place to stop before we go too far off the rails. I'm excited for Crown Tundra this week. I'm very excited. At the end of this week, there's definitely going to be a lot of streams where we're going to be jumping into, like, Dynamax adventures with people. So definitely check that out.
I need to work really hard this week so I can have some free time during the weekend to hang out with you guys.
This weekend, we're absolutely doing this. Like, I'll stream. I'm going to stream a ton just to do Dynamax adventures at minimum. Like,
yeah.
I'm all about that. But yeah, on that note, we are going to kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you guys on the flip-flop.
Poke of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number... Oh no, I scrolled down too far. National Dex number 405, Luxray, the Gleamize Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Sword Dex entry says, Luxray can see through solid objects. It will instantly spot prey trying to hide behind walls, even if the walls are thick.
What?
It's got, like, X-ray vision.
It's got Luxray vision. Yes.
Luxray vision.
Oh, I get it now. Okay.
I mean, the last four letters of his name are X-ray.
Fair. When I look at Luxray, what I see is the Latin word for light and ray. I don't see X-ray.
So I don't know why the guys who were picking the teams chose this Pokemon. I honestly think Luxray is not that good. It is a pure electric type with, its stats are like meh. I think the biggest problem is that it speeds base 70, but I do think that this rotation of Pokemon that we've been having, where we just get new Pokemon added every few months, does give Pokemon with these lower base speeds, like 70, a time to shine, or at least a chance to, an attempt. And so Luxray, I mean, it's got that base 70 speed, but it also has a base 120 attack, which is actually really kind of scary. Its move pool isn't terrible. Its defenses are meh, there's 79 in both, and then an 80 HP. It's okay. It has some decent coverage as well.
Let's put it this way. I don't see why you would ever run this instead of Sir Mix-a-Lot, but you do you.
Guts.
Sir what?
Dracozolt. Dracozolt, the one that I had that was Sir, later Lord.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so Luxray is, he's got guts. So Flame Orb is the item you should have on it.
Fair.
The one that we're running here is Adamant. 252 attack, 252 speed. Wild Charge, Fire Fang, Throat Chop, and Protect. I don't know that other moves exist for Luxray. I'll be completely honest. It didn't get, like, the boost something like Lycanroc did. Lycanroc got, like, a huge boost this gen.
Yeah.
I mean, it has Play Rough, it has Psychic Fangs. I mean, it has some options, just not many.
Not the ones that you want, I'll be honest. The thing is, Luxray is just on this team. I think the Pokemon that are supporting it are far more interesting, personally. Like Mindshow. So Mindshow is one of the few Pokemon that has the move Coaching, which I believe is actually a...
No, that's a really common, move that was given out via the tutor.
You are
it's
right.
It's the fighting type Isle of Armor tutor.
Yep, you're right. You're right. It's on a lot of fighting types. The reason is you always see it on Riolu because it has Prankster. But Mindshow is just fast, so it can actually run it. And so it is on, like, every fighting type ever that existed. You are correct. So, and Mew. All fighting types and Mew.
And Cinderace.
And Cinderace, because why does Cinderace need to be good? Come on. And Sarah Aura. Mm-hmm. Sarah Aura got it. Wow.
Well, I mean, Cinderace makes sense, it having coaching.
Yes.
As it is,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
A libero. Like.
So for those of you who are unaware, coaching in a double battle will boost the attack and defense of your partner Pokemon by one stage each. This actually bypasses all forms of protections, which is kind of interesting. So like you can protect and still get coached, which is something to note. So you could coach Luxray, give it a plus one to attack, let it get its guts boost at the same time, and then get ready for next turn. And then honestly, I would just go big and have fun.
Yeah.
Like that's the answer. You go big and you have fun. From there, the Mind Shao is rocking 252 attack, 252 speed because it doesn't have other stats. It's holding a focus. It's got inner focus as its ability, so it can't be flinched, so you can get your coaching off. This is jolly because we're making this Mind Shao as fast as we possibly can. It's also running close combat because Hydra again exists, I guess.
Mm.
We're also right now in that funky meta. Series 6 is almost over, unfortunately, where things like Dragapult don't exist right now.
Unfortunately, I get to come back.
Yeah, we get fake out, taunt, coaching, and close combat. It's an interesting, I think coaching is an interesting play, especially coming from a not Riolu.
Yeah.
I like seeing, because Riolu's not interesting outside of coaching. Like, typically, if you can take out the partner Pokemon for that Riolu, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Notably, the inner focus also makes you intimidate proof.
Oh, that's true. Mm-mm. They did add that.
That's really cool.
Yeah. They did add that. But tell us more about... I think the rest of this is rather generic.
Yeah, you have a Primarina holding a life orb with Liquid Voice. It's modest. It has max speed, max special attack. It has Hyper Voice, Moonblast, Hydro Cannon, and Protect. Now, Hydro Cannon is interesting.
Hydro Cannon's a choice.
Yeah, choices.
I honestly think the person who probably made this team was probably very excited or was very upset with Hydro Pump's accuracy. Because you don't typically click Hydro Pump unless you absolutely need it to like game end.
Yeah.
And true. I think bringing Hydro Cannon is 100% accuracy and you're probably ending the game.
I think it's 95. I don't even think it's perfect.
It's better than 85.
Yeah.
Yes, it is better than that though.
I'm going to look this up, but keep going.
Yeah. And then another pretty standard thing is a Moongoose holding a Koba Berry, because Bird Spam is halfback, I guess.
Yes.
It obviously has Regenerator. It has 236 HP and 36 defense and 236 special defense, which lets it live something that I don't know. It's got Assassinator, and it's got zero attack and zero speed, because, yeah. You have Energy Ball, Spore, Rage Powder, and Protect. So I guess the only thing you might think is an option over other things is Energy Ball over something like Clear Smog or Sludge Bomb.
Yeah.
Giga Drain or something.
Yeah.
Hydro Cannon actually has an accuracy of 90%, by the way, so I think this Hydro Cannon play is stupid.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Okay.
unless there's something that you really need to take out specifically that you did the calc for, and Hydro Cannon like kills and Hydro Pump doesn't.
I don't know what that would be. I'm going to be completely
honest. I don't know
either.
Of Cinderace.
Cinderace isn't in this meta right now.
Exactly. I don't know. Colossal
is in. Keep going, and I'm going to do the calc. I'm still curious about this.
Double check the Dynamax on it too.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Notably, though, the energy ball is probably to eat Gastrodons.
Yes. Fair. Yes, because that is, I think, the only grass type move on this team. So you need to really have a Gastrodon plan.
We have, next up, we have Talonflame with the sharp beak. It's got Brave Bird if you want to use your one flying move to get an attack in. It's got Overheat. It's got Taunt. It's got Tailwind. It's a adamant nature, so that overheat, dropping it, not going to hurt you too bad. 252 attack, 252 speed. You click taunt if you think you can stop an annoying support move. If not, you click Tailwind. And if you still have your HP, just click Brave Bird, I guess.
Fair.
Next up, we have a Rhydon with Eviolite. We've got Lightning Rod on it because, you know, we've got a couple of things that are electric weak, so absorbing that is good. It's got 4 HP, 84 attack, 4 defense, 228 special defense, and 188 speed. This thing is clearly very calced. I don't know them. I am afraid of the man who does this math. It's got high horsepower. It's got to make sure you get your ground attacks off that aren't thumped by grassy terrain.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. And aren't spread damage. Lets you hit single targets. You've got Rock Slide for spread. And you've got Swords Dance and Protect.
Yeah, this is an interesting Rhydon. Because the spread is incredibly defensive. Apart from the speed. But then you get Swords Dance. It's weird.
So the calc for Hydro Cannon on a Colossal definitely kills with a Hydro. Also, it would kill with a we saw not with Hydro Pump, but Hyper Voice. This is a liquid voice Prim.
Well, don't forget you lose damage to the spread though.
Exactly. Was the Hyper Voice spread damage or not?
That's true. That's true. It probably the hyper voice is probably spread damage, but I closed it. I closed it. Never mind. We can go back later. But even then, I'm not as worried. Well, actually, no. You do need Hydro Cannon to Oko G Max Colossal. Like when it's G Maxed.
See, we figured it out.
Yep. Okay. Never mind. I didn't click the G Max button. Yeah, we figured it out. We got it. Time. We got it, guys. Okay. All right, let's see. That is it. That's the team, right? We did it.
Yeah.
So if you want to play with it, this will be on the server this week. You can watch P. Mickey and Claude9 play with it, and I think that'll be far more entertaining because I don't think this team is particularly the best. Mostly because Luxray isn't great. But I would love to see it and try it. Yeah, I'll probably try it out myself later this week as well on stream while we're waiting for Crown Tundra to drop. So on that note, though, guys, thanks for checking this out. We're going to kick everything on over, though, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Yeah, out of fear for our life. Okay. And so then this is also the part of the show where we read your emails on the show. I asked you last week what a Pokemon you're most excited for to see return the Crown Tundra, either competitively or any other way. I don't care. Or you could just email us about anything at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. So I'm very excited to see that. I don't even know what I'll ask you next week. Like, is there anything you're specifically excited for in Crown Tundra? There we go.
Well, actually, the show will come out after Crown Tundra is out.
Yeah, but I don't want my phone to blow up on Friday. With email notifications.
All right, you can only send us emails before it comes out, and it's what is your called shot?
All right, so our first email this week is going to be from MOMO. I think Whimsicott gets this one.
I do. MOMO says, "Hey, Buckle Beeps. I am so excited to play Crown Tundra next week, but I'm equally as nervous for the competitive scene, considering I only started playing competitively with Series 6. It's been the perfect time to jump in and learn without all the broken toys available. But now that all the legends are making their way back into Galar, I'm not sure how overwhelmed my brain will get trying to comprehend how everything can work together. So I think it's actually going to be a bit easier because for the first couple of weeks, you're going to see like the same six things over and over again."
Yeah, well, it's also, So, like, for as much as we say Lando's bad, the good news is it's going to be easier to build teams probably because something will probably bubble up to the top.
Mm-mm. It'll hyper-centralize, yeah. And that'll make it easy to prep for.
It's easier to prep for, but you'll also probably get something like Chalk, as much as Chalk was cancer. Chalk is what they called like the standard core back in the VGC 2015 meta,
mm-hmm.
which is it stands for Cresselia, Heatran, Amoongus, Landorus, and Kangaskhan. And that was like the big that like if you had those five Pokemon and then you like ran a tech on the side, and that was typically what was winning a tournament.
Yeah,
but it's really that way you learn how to drive those things, and then you can it's easy to jump in with a team like that.
Yeah,
in my opinion, it's easy to drive a Chalk team, and then you are able to you could learn what its weaknesses were, what you had problems with, and stuff like that. Especially since I assume none of us are trying to go to Worlds like right now.
No.
So I would say that's a good time to jump in is with the Legends. Yeah. Especially because they're not still letting in box art Legends or anything. Like, you're not going to be able to play with Xerneas or anything like that.
Yeah. He says, expect lots of questions from me over on Discord. Fair. We have channels that are specifically for that. So we'll be okay. I'm hoping for another round of DLC eventually, as I think it's a great way to keep the game fresh and feeling new without introducing an entirely new region. Though I'm not holding my breath for any of it, it would be nice to see the rest of the Pokedex added. I'm looking at you, Ampharos. Yeah, feel you.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, I would 100% be that person to buy the $500 Mariplush you mentioned last week. I would have bought it if I had that kind of money.
I thought about it.
Yeah.
I thought about it.
Just sometimes your phone gets Rickrolled to death and you have to buy a new phone immediately. Yeah, it literally died. Like, there was this video, and it was the scene from Lilo and Stitch where Lilo grabs Stitch and the turntable and goes to Nani and tells her, you have to see this. And I knew that as soon as she opened Stitch's mouth, Rick Astley would come out. But I was all over the idea. So I clicked it. I watched it.
No.
I loved it. I clicked back and my phone died. My phone got Rickrolled to death. Completely dead. Like, it never turned on again. I'm going to have to like pay someone to get the pictures of my baby cats off of that. But
whatever. Oh no.
Yeah, but it's a cool story, I guess. You can say your phone got Rickrolled to death. But yeah, new phones cost about as much as Mariplushes. So you have to have priorities in life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but I digress, as was the person reading the email. To answer this week's question, the Pokemon I'm looking forward to joining the Galar region is actually Dragonair. I've always been a fan of its design over Dragonite, though I have no idea how it will hold up in battle, if it even can. I have a level 100 Dragonair named Pearl, ready to transfer in home though, so maybe I'll experiment how she can hold up. Okay, so wait a moment, guys.
I also
love Dragonair over Dragonite, and I just realized you're going to be walking around with that long Dragonair streaming out behind you, and I can't
Following wait. Pokemon was handled kind of badly.
Yes, but I still can't wait.
Like, it's cool as, like, a novelty, and then there's just, like, a point where it's just like, oh, it's too slow and it's not keeping up, and then because there's Pokemon in the overworld, it, like, pops up behind you and you get terrified for half a second.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Wild Kyurem appears.
Yeah, right? You're just like, oh, God!
But, like, I love Dragonair, and I was all over the way that Ekans moves in Let's Go, so if you get, like, long boy Dragonair walking behind you, like, so cool. Oh, sorry about the bitch. That's all for now. Catch you on the flip-flop, MOMO.
All right. Our next one is going to be from Bailey. Hello, Fuckle Crew. It's Bailey. I've been a Pokemon fan since I played my first Pokemon game, Fire Red, on the Game Boy Advance. I found you about a year ago on one of my drives home from university, and I have been listening ever since. Well, thank you for not hating us. I appreciate that. As for which Pokemon I am most excited about returning to the Crown Tundra, it would have to be both Salamence and Dragonite. In hopes that the data mines are correct, and they both get access to dual Wingbeat. I play draft leagues primarily, and in a format with Z-moves being around, These two both suffer from not having good flying stab. They both get fly. And if you're using Z moves, or is it without Z moves being around? Maybe they forgot the word without. Because then, yes, they both have aerial ace. So they both have aerial ace. But with, outside of that, yeah, dual wing beat would be good. Dual wing beat's a decent move. It's mostly because flying's a really good type, and I think TPCI constantly forgets that.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
And when they don't forget it, you get burst spam.
Yep. If they get access to dual wing beat, they will be so much better and so much fun to use. The idea of Dragonite with multi-scale and heavy-duty boots is terrifying.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, you get triple axel now.
Yes.
So
that is also true.
Triple kick, but good.
I think triple axel is going to see more play once Crown Tundra comes out. That's my prediction. I think you're going to see a lot more triple axel. A lot of weird things get it. Weavile gets it.
It's not
which isn't that weird.
I wouldn't say that's
that one's not a weird,
weird
one. That one's not a weird one, but
Gallade gets it.
That's weird. Could you imagine that?
Minccino gets it, and that's very weird
Minccino
to me.
Minccino gets most of the multi-hit moves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a 3-5. It's just odd.
Yeah.
Serena gets it.
Perfect.
Yeah, but all of those Pokemon conceivably look like figure skaters, so I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Frozmoth.
Frostmoth's not good anyway.
Okay, you got me there.
Frostmoth's just not good. All right. I'm also excited to see the Regis come back, especially Registeel, because of my it's my favorite of the Regis and the mascot of my draft league team, the Pittsburgh Registeelers. Keep up the great work with the podcast, and the Registeelers is pretty good. I'm a fan.
That's very good.
Keep up the great work with the podcast, and I'm excited to listen to future episodes. Sincerely, Bailey. So there have been some other, like, I didn't know this happened until very recently, but, like, the NHL added some new hockey teams.
Oh.
And I only found out about this because I took my vacation to Seattle a couple weeks ago to visit my in-laws. And I got there, and my mother-in-law was, like, very adamant about buying me a Seattle Krakens, which is the name of an NHL team in Seattle, a, like, sweatshirt. One, it was very odd because neither her or I are into hockey.
Hmm.
But she just like really liked the logo, and the logo is kind of cool.
Okay, fair.
So you could be like the Seattle Tentacruel now. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun meme. That's a deep dive. Okay, but yes, keep up the great work of the podcast, and I'm excited to listen to future episodes. Sincerely, Bailey. Well, thank you for that, Bailey. Hope University is going okay. Moving on, then, our last one today is going to be from Bam!
Bam!
Bam! He has the exclamation point. It's illegal to say it otherwise.
You have to have the enthusiasm behind it.
Dear exuberant hosts, it is I, Bam, here again to tell you about what Pokemon I'm excited to see in Crown Tundra. Unfortunately, the 100-plus mons that they promised us includes over 50 legendary Pokemon.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
So, right when the whole, like, 100 in each came out, and they had the picture of all the legendaries. It had that, and then some of the pseudos that they had confirmed. And it said,
"Yeah, you had like 70
Pokemon account for 80% of
of Crown Tundra."
Yeah, it was painful.
Crown Tundra didn't have much missing. Like that leak didn't reveal to us that much.
Yeah, they are mons that you have to search for and hunt for. But after I catch them, they just hang out my PC for the rest of eternity.
Yep.
One legendary and mythical I'm looking forward to using is Diancie. It won't be legal in any official online formats, but it will still be fun.
I don't know, we just had one. We just had a tournament with it.
Well, who knows? But it will still be fun to use against a friend and maybe Mega Evolve it.
Hmm.
I am also excited to have Aurora's back. Aurora's back means four out of my top six favorite Pokemon will be back. They just need to add Torterra and Ampharos. Which is very funny to me, given what we've been talking about. Then I will finally have that terrible at competitive dream team of mine.
And I'm not the only one with the same one-track mind about the Pokemon that are still missing. I mean, this makes me feel a lot better for feeling like a broken record from week to week.
Other than Minior, I think most of mine are there. I'm looking forward to Diancie just because I'm going to be the goof who's running around with Diamond Storm Body Press. It's not good, it's just very funny.
Fun.
I was talking to somebody about Mega Evolution the other day, and I forget, it might have been on the show. I don't remember anymore. All the conversations bleed together. But we were talking about it, and they
said
that...
you repeat yourself so often.
Yeah, right? And there's only so many Pokemon ideas to have, okay? Cut me some slack. I'm on this show every week. And so I think it was in chat or something, because I think it was P. McKee, and he was talking about how Mega Evolution appeared to be, like, Mega Evolution not being in Sword and Shield seems to be the exception to to just, like, the whole franchise as a whole. Which they thought was very, maybe it wasn't PvP, maybe it was an article I read. I don't remember. But they're just like, yeah, it's in like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon and Pokken Tournament. And it's going to be in, Pokemon Unite, probably. It's in Pokemon Go. So, I mean, could you imagine? So, like, you remember the hype that, like, people had for, like, Pokemon Go getting Mega Evolution before they botched it? And, like, could you imagine, like, the hype of, like, hey, here's a DLC that brings Megas back to Pokemon Sword and Shield? Like, there would be hype for that.
Yeah.
Like, legit hype. That's like, one of the things that, like, keeps me at that 50-50 for DLC 2. Mm. Is, like, that could really bring some hype if you brought back Megas in one of them.
Honestly, yeah.
But, yeah, I digress. Finish this email.
All right. It is time for me to prepare for the Blizzardy Wonderland that is the Crown Tundra by making some hot chocolate and putting on my normal Michigan clothes.
My normal Michigan clothes.
I appreciate this, Bam. Catch you on the flip-flop. Bam!
My normal Michigan clothes. Michigan gets, like, scary cold sometimes. It's awful. It's awful. Michigan's particularly. I used to live on the Michigan border with Indiana. And, like, I forgot after I'm literally, like, maybe 100 miles south of where I used to live, like, latitude-wise. But the weather is so drastically different that, like, when I go back, it's made me soft. It's made me soft. Because, like, it can be, like, 10 degrees Fahrenheit, like, up in Michigan. And, like, down here, it'll be, like, 27. And so that's a drastic difference, you know?
Yeah.
Little bit.
It's a drastic difference. And, you know, then you go home to go visit your parents or something, and you're just like, it's cold. And then your dad yells at you for being soft. But Green Tauros badge.
Only one of them.
According to our sponsor, Green Tauros. Yeah. It
wasn't my fault. I mean, the contract is in English.
Yes.
In Italian. How was I supposed to know?
Who do we want to give it to? Do you want to give it to MOMO, Bailey, or Bam? I think Bam already has it.
I'm pretty sure Bam already has it. Let's give him two.
I liked Bailey and MOMO.
Okay. I like both of them.
Do you go for the Dragonair pandering or no?
I did love the Dragonair pandering, but it,
Actually, Bam does Bam?
I don't know. I don't know who has anything.
Yes, he does.
I don't know who anybody has what. I don't keep track.
So
this should be obvious by now. I don't keep track.
It's Dragonair pandering versus the Pittsburgh Registeelers. They're both
I prefer the Pittsburgh Registeelers.
Bailey, you won the Green Tauros badge. So there we go. Bailey won the Green Tauros badge. Come to our Discord server to grab it. If you want to email us next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, I guess you can let us know how you're enjoying Crown Tundra so far, but it's only going to be out for a day. And so, like, I want to give people a chance, because if not, I'm going to get a lot of emails at, like, 7 p.m. on Saturday after we record the show.
Yeah.
Because nobody listens to me when I say that's when we record.
We record on Saturday morning.
Yes. So if you want to do something otherwise, you can send us an email about just, like, what you're most excited for in Crown Tundra. If not, if you have already played it, what are you enjoying the most? So other than that, if you want to keep up with Puckle, come to Discord, most importantly. That's where we all are. You can hang out, chat with us, play Pokemon with us, most importantly, this week. And then you can also go ahead and follow us on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and, oh my gosh, Instagram. There it is. I always forget one. There's always one. And then you could, of course, follow us on YouTube, where I want to do Nuzlocke again, and I should get back on that this next month. And you definitely come over to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, though, where you can catch us streaming Dynamax Adventures probably for the next, like, week. I don't know what else I'm going to want to do in Pokemon. Like, I'm just going to want to do Dynamax Adventures. I'm very excited for Dynamax Adventures.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so if you're interested in that, definitely come over to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast. If you want to support us, a great way to do that is to drop a subscription on the channel for that. However, you can also go over to TeePublic, buy a t-shirt, or you can always go to Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. And just as a reminder, if you're at the $15 tier next month, you can get all the badges for our fall league, which we'll talk about details about for next week, because I think it's going to start on like the 1st of November. So keep an eye out for that. I'm very excited for that, though, by the way. Fall league is going to be hype. Fall league is going to be hype. Yeah. All right. On that note, though, I guess I have been Trainer Thatch.
I have been the fluffiest whimsicott, and I really appreciated the Peyton and the Fridge story last week, Seth.
And I've been Linnea.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.